the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. There was a, this reference here is to the year of Jubilee, every 50th year. 7 times 7 is 49, and in the 50th year was a year of Jubilee. It was a year of rest. It was a year of proclamation. Every man that had sold himself into slavery or to bondage had to be freed. Every man that had sold his land, his inheritance, it had to be restored to him again. It was the year of liberty proclaimed for those that were in bondage. It also, in as we started to say a while ago, when he come out of led them out of Egypt, which is they were bond slaves down in Egypt, and when they come out of Egypt up on the Mount Sinai, when the law was given, he said, "Now I am the Lord your God, who have delivered you from bondage in Egypt." And he said, "I, the Lord your God, command you not to make anything in the image of any creature on the earth, of any bird in the air, or any fish in the sea, anything in it, of man. You make no image of anything, and bow down to them and worship them, for I am a jealous God. I am a jealous God." And so he had led them out of captive and bondage. And beloved, that's a picture of our situation. We are captive to sin. We're in bondage and slave to sin. That's what that's a picture of. It was written for our comfort and edification, the apostle says. And so then he anointed the Son to come, and that he might proclaim liberty to set us free from this bondage and from the sin and from the slavery of sin that we're in. We are lawful captives. I mean, it's a lawful thing to be made captive of sin, because we are sinners. We have offended a holy and a just God. And so then we are prisoners of that sin. We are prisoners of Satan, so to speak, because he's able to lead us about whithersoever he will, because of our sinful nature. Because we love to sin, and the nature is the love of sin, he's able to tempt us, see, and to lead us about in sin. And so we are said to be prisoners, but the Lord came to set us free. The Lord came to break the bondage and to set us free. And the way he did that, beloved, was that he was become our surety of the everlasting covenant. He fulfilled everything that the law demands, which is just and holy and good, that we cannot keep because of our sinful weakness of the flesh. He fulfilled on our behalf. He was born of a woman. He was made under the law. And he fulfilled the law perfectly and justly, that he might deliver us. And so he has given us beauty for ashes, and the garments of praise and joy, and praise in the garments of salvation. Our garment of salvation is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which he has wrought out for us. That's the garment I feel like that the man at the wedding supper didn't have. You know, it said that the Lord came and he saw one there, and he had not on a wedding garment. And he said, "Friend, how comest thou in here without a wedding garment?" And he said the man was speechless. And he said, "Bind him hand and foot, and cast him into outer darkness." And you see, beloved, that's where the Pharisees were. When he read, stood up that day there in Nazareth, where he grew up, and read the scripture, and said, "This day is fulfilled in thy eyes." And those men didn't have the wedding garment. They were not trusting in the righteousness of Christ. They were trusting in their own works. That's what the Apostle Paul said. They had not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. He is the Lord our righteousness. And they were going about to fulfill their own righteousness in the deeds of the law. And so he burned up their temple, and he destroyed that city, and he scattered them among all the nations of the earth. And they've been cruelly persecuted by practically every people on the face of the earth that they've been scattered among. But to the meek, And to those that mourn in Zion, he has given for ashes beauty and the garments of salvation. Beloved, it's a great joy this morning to be able to assemble with a few of God's creation that are meek and are humble and mourn in Zion, weep because of her undone position. When you think of the multitudes of millions that go under the name of Christians, and yet they have no regard for the beauty of Zion, the beauty of the garments of our Lord, the beauty of his salvation, the joy of his salvation. They're going about evidently to establish their own righteousness. They do not trust in his beauty, and they eat their own bread and wear their own apparel. When they get ready to conduct their service, they have no regard to how the apostles conducted their service. Those that set up the church, which the church is said to be built upon, the apostles and the Lord himself being the chief cornerstone, they don't even bother to consult what they did, not what they said, not what they were moved by the Holy Ghost to write down, the third person of the Trinity. So, beloved, you see, it's a great privilege, though we be few in number, it's a great honor and a privilege to be able to assemble this morning and to feel the joy of our salvation in our hearts, to feel that the Lord does approve of our little service here and receives our worship and our praise and our admiration of him. What a wonderful joy and a privilege it is to sing, lift up our voices and sing in unison in the bonds of peace and in the unity of the Spirit, the praise of our God, for his wonderful, wonderful grace. The grace of salvation. The grace of the forgiveness of sins. The grace of redemption that he has wrought out in that holy and sinless body which is now in heaven. May the Lord add his blessings to his precious word. Many, many things could be said that's not been said this morning about this. But may the Lord give us a heart and a mind to go home with a little better appreciation of what he's done for us, that we might humbly and meekly show wherever we are, that our little lives might be a witness and a testimony of his wondrous mercy and grace, that it might shine forth. Let your light shine, he said. May not seem like much to us, beloved, and no doubt it's not compared to his, but yet he said, let it shine, let it shine. So proclaim the wonders and the glory of your God in whatever little field that the Lord has led you in, and let the glory that the Lord, what did he say? Let the Lord, that he might be glorified. That was the substance of it all, that he might be glorified. That's the end of man, as to glorify God and to have fellowship with him throughout all eternity. May God add his blessings. We'll publish the doors of the church open if there's one or more. We're left to join the church. We'll give you that privilege while we're assembled together. We did not bring the sisters and friends, did not bring lunch today because it's Mother's Day and most of the families get together and on that day. So we decided not to bring lunch today. But we certainly appreciate those that's come to visit with us and to worship with us. And we hope you'll come back. And of course, our next meeting day, we'll bring out lunch as usual. What shall we sing, brethren?
Page 46.
We might strike the glad hands of fellowship as we sing.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the Bring forth the royal.
Amen.